This is Your Life, God's Truth, your QFM. It's Phil, and I am so happy to have Pastor Gus on the phone, a pastor on Holy Week. It's like the Super Bowl for you guys, right?
Absolutely, it is. It's the biggest Sunday of the year, not just for attendance, but just, I don't know, most important, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was asking you if you think you'll see a few people this Sunday that you never see any other time of the year, you know, those creasters. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll have a few, that's for sure. But we just don't have tons because it's a small community and people already, I mean, they already know who we are, you know.
Well, and here's
the
thing.
Some like us and some don't.
Don't you think, though, you see more of that at like your mainline denominations, maybe even Catholic churches, that kind of thing, where there's maybe just, you know, at a church like yours, Gus, people are just fired up, more fired up for Jesus, you know?
Absolutely. There's more with the liturgical/religious type churches rather than the relationship, born again, preaching type churches. It's pretty standard operating procedure around the nation to be swollen everywhere, but especially in the denominational churches.
Yeah. Well, it is all about the good news. I mean, what Christ did on the cross and Resurrection Sunday, I mean, it's the best news ever. Like, Mercy Me has a song named that, the best news ever. It's not just good news. But it just seems weird to me, Gus, that there still are so many people, even here in the United States, that reject it. They just don't get it, or they're just so deceived that they don't see it. Isn't that weird, you know?
Yeah, it's weird to me too, but when I get into that frame of mind, I think, I was that guy too.
Yeah.
Like, I remember saying to myself in high school, like, I don't want God's help, because then I don't want him to take the credit for my life. And that was a real thought. I just thought, man, I want to do it, you know? And, you know, I got saved when I was 20 and then realized how terrible of a mindset that was. But you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know anything until God just takes the blinders off your eyes. And then you're like, I will receive you, right?
Well, and they really start to get what that good news means. I mean, not only a life of joy and peace, I guess, here on this earth, but that promise of eternal life. You know, that's the thing where Jesus rises from the dead, death is defeated, and we can spend eternity with him. Some people really struggle to wrap their head around that whole concept, it seems.
Absolutely, but it doesn't mean we don't keep telling them and really keep living it. I want to live a lifestyle where people look at it and be like, you know, I want whatever it is he has. What has he got, you know? And I got more than just Jesus, but Jesus is all I need.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because right now, you know, we think about good things that we love on this earth. And for those of us who know Christ, we're always going to list that number one. You know, what's your favorite thing about your life? And it is that I know Jesus and I know the good news and what that means for me and for my family and so forth. But if you asked a lot of guys right now, what's your favorite thing in your life right now? And they would say, March Madness, baby, you know, college basketball. And I think that there are just so many people still caught up with the quote unquote good things of life here on this earth, the freedoms we have, the, you know, the frankly luxury we have of living here. And they feel like they got to give a lot of that up in order to follow Jesus, and they don't want to do it.
Yep, but that's what sin does. It just blinds us, and I remember thinking, like, I don't want to follow Christ. I don't want to go to church because I would rather do, you know, some naughty stuff, right?
Yeah.
But when he, you know, introduces himself to me, and I realize, man, that naughty stuff isn't good for me, it's easier to give up. I'm not saying that it still isn't a struggle from time to time to live my own life, but every time I try to live my life, so to speak, or do what it is I want to do, if it's apart from his will, it just goes bad. And so I've learned, right? I've just learned I don't want to do what I, quote, want to do unless what I want to do is what he wants me to do, or what he wants me to do is I want to do. So I just realize my life just goes better when I give him control of it.
Exactly right. People just don't want to give that control.
Yeah, you can even argue that it's selfish. It's almost selfish to live a Christian life. And I wouldn't argue this theologically. It's bad theology. But I just know he is better master of my life. So why would I not want to do what it is he wants me to do?
Yeah. And yet there's so many that just don't, they don't know that yet. They don't get it. And it takes conviction, you know, honestly. And I wanted to back up again, too. There are a lot of really good things about living where we live and so forth that we don't have to give up as we, you know, walk with Jesus. You can still do all sorts of fun things, of course, with your friends, your family, and so forth, as long as you're keeping Christ the priority in your life, right, Gus? I mean, there's that
absolutely.
Balance.
Absolutely. The problem, you know, stems from when people, quote, get to know God, they sometimes become Pharisees. They just become these people that want to know God more, but they turn their back on other people because they have basically idolized God. They haven't laid their life down to worship him, but they've idolized him, and they've kept that pride.
Mm-hmm.
And when you keep pride, religious pride, man, yikes, you just become a fuddy-duddy, you know? You just become ish, and I don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah, who would want that as far as good news, you know? We need to be joyful. I mean, that's the thing that people will catch more than anything is the good news, and we show it, you know, that we're happy, and we know it, and they can know it, and that's what's going to attract people to Jesus, don't you think?
Yeah, I like not having to fake it. You know, I don't have to fake peace. I don't have to fake joy. I don't have to fake like I have it all together, because I don't. I mean, he has it all together, and I just focus on him, and as I focus on him, he really just, you know, massages my heart, so to speak. You know, he just gets his hand on my life, and I realize, man, it's just, it goes better with you, Jesus. And I don't have to fake it. I really do love him in a way that causes me to obey, and I don't obey because I'm super afraid of judgment, although it does cause me to obey sometimes, right?
Yes.
It's not just about the love of God. It's also about, you know, the scripture says that a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed. Well, listen, I don't want to suddenly be destroyed.
No.
So I'm not going to give God the side eye, right? I am going to, you know, focus my face and my attention on him and not have to get rebuked with a 2x4 to the face.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is all of those things. It is being drawn by the joy and the goodness of God, but also the conviction. We definitely need that to improve our lives. And like you said, if we're doing a bunch of things that would go against God and his biblical precepts, we're going to struggle. You know, maybe not right away. You know, maybe right, I keep winning $500 every time I go to the casino. God must be happy. Well, sooner or later, that's going to catch up with you, you know.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You're going to
need
him.
God gives rain on the just and the unjust.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there is, I mean, just the fact that people have breath in their lungs is because God wills it to be, and he is, you know, he is protecting them. But there are some of us who have a greater protection, and that is that spiritual protection, because he's just chosen us. He's opened our eyes, and the only response to being saved from drowning is to honor your lifeguard. And that's what I'm trying to do for the rest of my life.
Love it. It is Pastor Gus. It's Easter week, and we're talking about the good news. And let's face it, though, there is a lot of bad news in the world today. And that's the other thing, is it's easy for people in the church to focus on that stuff. I mean, just the other day, yesterday, when that bridge fell in Baltimore, what a horrific thing. And of course, right away, there's people saying, well, I'm sure that was terrorism, even though they say it wasn't. That was a foreign ship, and it purposely rammed that bridge to, you know, drop it and interrupt the economy of the United States, you know. And then things just spiral out of control. I mean, wow. Yes, there is a lot of bad things that happen, and we can take a look at them. But, you know, you got to be careful. You use wisdom. We look at things happening even in our own communities, in our own schools. You and I talk about that stuff all the time. Look at the Minnesota legislature. Maybe next week we'll get into that, Gus, because it's another disaster in Minnesota. But this week, and frankly every week, even despite all the bad news, don't you think, Gus, the good news of Jesus, you just got to keep focused on it. And let that far outweigh all that other stuff.
This isn't our home, right? Earth is not our home. Bemidji's not your home. War Road's not my home. The United States isn't my home. I am passing through to ultimately get home to heaven. And I have to keep that mindset. I'm not saying I always keep that mindset, brother, but I primarily keep that mindset because I am eternally focused. You can't read the Bible you can read the Bible and not be eternally focused, but it's hard to. It's hard to read the Bible and not be eternally focused because the Scripture talks about eternity. So let's think about it. Let's live the way that, let's live for eternity, not just for retirement.
Amen. Could not have said that better. And that's what this week is all about. It's that once a year where we really drill down on what happened, for goodness sakes? Why did Christ go to the cross? And then how amazing is it that he rose from the grave a few days later? And amen, it is absolutely the best news ever. And I hope I'm getting you pumped up for your sermon on Sunday, Gus.
Amen. You know, Christ's resurrection is like science fiction until it isn't.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's just like, that is ridiculous. Some guy that's a religious guy died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and it's relevant for my life today. I've got a bridge, you know, to nowhere to sell you because that's ridiculous. Until he just wipes the blinders from your eyes, and then you realize, oh, what?
Yeah. Wow.
And that's the good news.
Well, we're going to stop it right there because that's just too good. And Gus, God bless you and your church coming up this weekend. Let's go for it as we celebrate Jesus and get reinvigorated like never before. And I just pray God's blessings for you. So thanks for weighing in here today, Gus.
God bless you, brother.
Awesome. This is Your Life, God's Truth, your QFM, and happy Easter.